Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadik Bynum, speaking to you from the New Africa Business Association here in Washington, D.C. Welcome to tonight's show, where we're our subject this evening is the advantages of owning a business in a black community. So I'm looking forward to opening our mics up this evening and sharing in that conversation and that opinion of owning a business in a black community. So for those of you who are listening to tonight's show, I'd like to give you some information as to where you can call in and participate with us. For those of you who wish to participate, your call-in number is 657-383-1372. Again, our call-in number is 657-383-1372. And you can call in and share in on tonight's conversation of owning a business in a black community. And we're going to get started with our conversation right after we go to a couple of announcements. Giving everyone a chance to call in, we will go to a couple of our conversations and we will get started with tonight's show. But before I get started, I'd like to introduce my guest host. And my guest host, Brother Aziz, are you with us?
Yes, Brother Bilal. Assalamu alaikum and greetings to our audience out there tonight. And
glad
to be on board today for another good episode of Africa Business Association.
Brother RG, you got some real bad static coming from your location. I don't know what it is. But it's real bad.
Can you still hear it?
Yeah, real
okay,
bad.
Okay, man. Okay, let me see if I can do something else.
It's coming in real bad.
You feel it?
Yes, I can still hear it.
Let me hang up the call back in. I don't know what the problem is.
All right, Brother Aziz, I'll wait for your call to call back in. And like I said, welcome to tonight's show. Our discussion this evening is the New Africa. Our discussion this evening is owning a business in the African-American community. And so that's a discussion and an opinion that I like to share with our audience. I am going to continue to open the mics up as our callers call in. So I will continue to do that. So if you are if you have called in and you can hear my voice, the mics are open as to where I can also hear yours. So welcome to tonight's show. And again, the advantages of owning a business in the black community. Callers, we're going to start off with whoever's, like I said, have already called in. If you'd like to make a comment, we welcome your comments. Okay, well, again, like I said, I will start it off then by saying the title of owning a business in the black community, there are several reasons as to why I think and I would own a physical business in the black community. And I say owning a physical business because that's where physical businesses are needed. You go into the average African-American community and you'll see, you won't see businesses. Very few types of businesses, restaurants, places as to where you can go grocery shopping. You won't see no kind of real estate developments, such as rental developments, where you can go and buy properties. You won't see banks and financial planning offices in the African American community. And so again, because these businesses are not in our communities, that's why I say there is a great big demand. And that's something that is unusual to say about any community, especially in the United States. And that is that there is a big demand for business, because businesses are all over the place in this country other than the black community. And that's why there is a big command for businesses, simply because you do not have businesses in the black communities. And another a big advantage of having businesses in the black communities, and of course one of the big advantages is knowing that the consumer spendings that we're large spenders. Dear Brother Aziz, I have you now, and after I finish my little commentary here, I'm going to get right back with you, but I do hear you now, and I don't hear the static.
Okay, great.
I don't hear the static, but all again, right. one of the reasons for I would, in my opinion, for having a business in the black community is that not only is there a great big demand for having a business there, but the cost of having the business in the black community is probably much cheaper than anywhere else in this country, because anywhere else you go and you try to open or buy a business, the cost anywhere else other than the African-American community is probably going to be pretty high. But because there are no businesses in our communities, and our communities have been devalued, in other words, our communities is not as valuable as the rest of the communities in this country. And of course, that comes from redlining. We didn't do it. It was intentionally done. But I'm saying there is an advantage to us as African Americans, because if we put businesses directly in our communities, the cost is much lower. So those of us who have businesses and up to what you would consider uptown or downtown or crosstown, in other words, it's not the African-American communities, we're paying a much higher price, and we probably don't have as much if we was to transfer our businesses from uptown, downtown, or around wherever somebody else's town is other than African-American communities, put those businesses back into our communities. Because, again, that's where your clientele, you'll be close to your clientele. And like I said, businesses are in big demand in the African-American communities. Also, group investments for those of us who are not in business, and but I'm saying the demand for the business. For instance, how many filler stations are you going to, when you go into an African-American community, how many filler stations can you pull into owned by African-Americans and get your gas? No, most African-Americans, most of us in the black communities, we have to drive 5 or 10 miles or so just to get gas. So we got to spend 2 or 3 gallons of gas just to buy some gas. But if the gas station was right there in our communities, you see what I mean about the demand for businesses being in the African American communities, and why it pays to have businesses in African American communities, and like I said, physical businesses in the African American communities. And I wouldn't be, even though I'm at the point of retirement, I am a business person, been in business over 40 years. But also, I can see where if I was basically starting over, the same advice I'm giving, I would put my office in the African American communities, and it would pay for me to even build my office rather than renting, right in the African American communities, because again, that's where most of my clientele is at. Why not be close to your clientele? But again, like I said, this is a general, this is a public discussion that we're having this evening. So I'm not going to take up all the discussions. Like I said, I'm opening all the mics as you call in. So anyone that can hear me, now that the mics are open, I can also hear you. Brother Aziz, I'm going to give you welcome you. Again, you're my co-host. And any comments, and then we'll go right on to our audience.
Yes, thank you, Brother Bilal. And I'm in agreement with everything you've been discussing about the opportunities of opening a business in our community and being successful at it. We're in great need of African-American entrepreneurs. And we know that there is a number of organizations somewhat similar to the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C., as well as other New Africa Business Associations that are promoting, marketing, and trying to network African-American businesses. And it's that great of a need, it's that big of a need in our community for us to be in business. And Brother Bilal, today, a brother we know, Brother Nasir, shared some with me that I didn't know existed, and it was about Atlanta, Georgia. And it's about a community in Atlanta, Georgia called Castleberry Hill. It's I think the southwestern part of Atlanta. And over on Castleberry Hill, it's a African-American community over there that's flourishing with businesses, upscale businesses, as well as not only townhouses, apartments, lofts, as like in New York and these big cities, lofts and everything. And they're all African-American. And this CastleberryHill.com, Atlanta, Georgia, you can take a look at it like that. It's a community just exactly what you were talking about, where we have our businesses, we're living in there. You know, it's almost a totally black community, African-American community, you know. And that's pretty good. And, you know, a bunch of African-Americans invested in that, and it's growing like that. But that's a section that I just found out about Atlanta, Georgia, and they're taking advantage of not only as well. We saw what was going to happen in Selma, Alabama, but these entrepreneurs in this Castleberry Hill in Atlanta, they're not only building and converting the warehouses and that into lofts and condos and apartments, but they're also putting the businesses there that need the people need that are going to be that's living in these places, as opposed to letting them come in and put their businesses in there. And you know, and take all the money away where it never circulates back into the community. So I thought that Castleberry Hill in Atlanta, that was a good example. If you know, people have the opportunity to see that. But otherwise, in the country, businesses are starting to get back, and they found that in spite of the businesses, a lot of the businesses returning back to full service, we're finding that a lot of the African Americans have found ways to have home-based businesses, as well as has gone into business as others, because of the need. And from anywhere from baking businesses, restaurants, and a number of other things. But these this is a great movement for African Americans, because they more and more of them are entering into the bigger business scene in the clothing industry. Back into the restaurants, of course, that we usually do, but upscale restaurants. So that's bringing a different light to all of this that's going on in the community. And it's good to know that when there's a so-called pandemic, that
we have people that don't look towards just being given up, but they're looking for new ways to make money, new ways to go into business, new ways to take care of their families, and they found out that this is one of the ways going into business, whether it's a home-based business or it's a group business, like you say, investing in one another. And I like that for sure, brother. I like that for sure. Another thing's taking place, Brother Bilal, that we always give room to mention about some of the things that are a little bit politically happening. And I wanted to say that for a lot of the bad things that's happened in the last 4 years under the former presidency, a lot of that's coming to fruition now. We're finding out that former President Donald Trump's organization have committed some massive crime schemes, brother. That's appalling. And I also found out that they had two set of books, and the government is in control of New York Attorney General. They're in control of two set of books that Trump and them had, you know, where they were getting more money than they were, devaluing properties and then upvaluing on the other side. It's just a major scam. And I think, well, not think, his daughter, if the former president is going to jail, his daughter's going to go with him too. And I don't see from the reports that I got that they won't do that, because the things they did hurt big business, wherein it just hurt the regular consumer in general because of the abuse of the power. But I just wanted to put that little part in there, that that's where it seems to be going. And it's one of the major contributions to the insurrection that we had here. And these things are very important because they affect us all, really. So I just wanted to throw that little political part in about it, Matt, and open the mics up to anyone that's listening, you know, concerning businesses and promoting them and networking, marketing in our community. So if anyone's out there want to identify their business, let us know who they are. Tell us about yourself. Please do so, you know, with the mics open, as Brother Bilal said.
Okay, Brother Aziz, appreciate your comments. Any questions for Brother Aziz or anyone who has any personal comments? Our mics are open. We welcome your comments.
Okay.
Greetings and peace, everyone. Assalamu alaikum. This is Tariq. With Rijal and Big Game Suits, and I'm going to have to include the Entrepreneurs and Development Network. So whatever I can offer, I'm here to offer that to you.
Well, certainly, brother. You know, we always appreciate you participating with us. So anything you wish to present, or we're going to be on here for a little while. So we look forward to you updating us on any presentations or anything you like to present that we need to know something about. Also, I think we had... I heard another brother that, Brother Paul, was that you that I heard?
This is Brother Paul from Colombia, Maryland.
Sure, Brother Paul, you know, we always welcome you. Glad to have you. Go right ahead, Brother Paul.
But I have some bad news for you.
Oh, wow.
On top of all the problem the black community is having in Haiti, this morning around 1 a.m., they assassinate the president of Haiti. The president of Haiti was assassinated this morning at around 1 a.m. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you, Brother Paul. We know about the tragedy that went on. I was just wondering how much information you had on that.
I really don't have any information. I don't have anything.
Right, I understand. I understand that that is a discussion that we look forward to finding out because we know Haiti, like you said, Haiti is a very poor country, and but at the same time, it doesn't have to be that way. So, like I said, we look forward to the information coming out of Haiti. And I also didn't notice there was a sister. She's trying to present businesses out of Liberia, and which I think is a very good idea. I've been saying that we should start looking to do more about traveling, especially our vacation and traveling to places like Liberia and other parts of Africa, rather than going to Miami and these other places that we are not wanting. We could spend our vacation monies in places like Liberia and other parts of Africa. But he was talking about the community down in Atlanta, Georgia. Do you have the email or any way we can look up anything on the internet? Because again, see, when we find out about a community like that, we need to support that community as much as we possibly can. So any information that you have, which is shared, and then of course, see if we can get in touch with that organization. But we certainly need to know about organizations like that, and then start supporting organizations like that. Because, like I said, putting businesses in the black communities, it's the best investment I think one could possibly make. But what frightens me is that once these businesses are growing in African-American communities, the same thing that you saw happen down in Selma, where white folks came in and started buying up Selma simply because they didn't want the black folks to own such valuable property. The same thing is true in the black communities. When you start, use that word Harry, but if we don't start hearing and being very proactive about putting businesses in our communities, others on the outside, other than African Americans, they can see the advantages of doing the same thing that you said, like what's going on in Alabama, down in Atlanta, and many other parts of African American communities. Because again, they know the amount of monies that we spend, and if they see that those monies is going to be spent right in our communities, they're coming into our communities. We have an advantage here, but we must act on these advantages. Because now we're talking about our own black communities. We can either build our own communities and profit from it, or we can lose our communities if somebody else owns our entire communities. Because African American communities are just that valuable. I was looking at U Street here in Washington, D.C. Brother Aziz, I don't think you can get a spot on U Street anymore, especially if you're black. And I'm saying it not because of race, not because of the color of your skin.
I remember when you couldn't buy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I doubt it. But you can't get a spot on U Street.
Brother Bilal, I remember when you couldn't give a boy a place down there on U Street.
How about it? But in the Shaw, not only U Street, but the entire black Shaw area. White folks have taken
over
the whole thing. So that's just an example of how, you know, that black community is vanishing. And it's vanishing because of monies and its value. And the same thing is true with all of our black communities. They're going to vanish unless we do something about the values, but the community is very valuable, and someone else is going to take the advantage of that value. Our mics are open, like I said, but me and Brother Aziz, any information you can get us on that community, any websites or anything, we certainly need to share that. So we can support that community as much as we possibly can. And any other communities, like we said, that we know that is African American, and we can start supporting the communities. Because again, you see, that's the problem with African American businesses. We don't know each other out here in this open business community. And I say open, but if we was in the black community, our own communities, it would be easy for us to open and recognize each other. But right now, the way it is, African-American businesses out here, uptown and downtown and around town, you don't know who these African-American businesses is, because there's so many others that are in business that makes them a more or less a shadow in business, because we're just not that popular. So again, Brother Aziz, if you would, any information you feel, we appreciate if you would share. But again, our mics are open. Go right ahead, Brother Aziz.
Yeah, Brother Bilal, I was going to say what our listeners can do is go to Castleberry Hill, Atlanta, Georgia. It's Castleberry Hill is a part of Atlanta, Georgia. And if you Google that up, then all the information and pictures about Castleberry Hill. And like I say, Castleberry Hill is an industrial area that was turned into a trendy with residential lofts and indie art galleries and old warehouses and, you know, a number of other things that the African-American community built upscale. And it really looks nice, but, you know, it's Castleberry Hill, Atlanta, Georgia. Or you can go to castleberryhill.com. And that's CastleberryHill.com. And it gives more information about this place, Castleberry Hill. They have single family homes, condos, townhouses. And again, it's African American neighborhood that was somewhat in a trendy type, upward type community. And in that, some people might know, have heard of us. If anybody know about a place called Pascal's in Atlanta, Georgia, Pascal's is one of the oldest joints around. It's been around there. It's next to a hotel. Pascal's is a hotel and a joint. And they have a number of other places where people go there that is very famous. And I can say they have a lot of black artists there in the neighborhood. So been there for a while. So, you know, at one time it was all cotton factories and warehousing and all that. And our people mostly worked in there, but it's a great history. If you go to Castleberry Hill, you know, .com, or Castleberry Hill, Atlanta, Georgia section, and a lot of information there on that.
You know, Brother Aziz, we've been talking about visiting a community as to where we can go in a network market with each other and identify each other's businesses. And get to know each other, business owners. And a community like that just might be the ideal place to have bring all of our business folks, all our listening audience from many different states. And that might be a wonderful place to go have our convention and support the black businesses down there. And as a matter of fact, this would be our first outing. We're looking for our first place to have our business, we call it a convention. It's not a convention. It's more a network marketing. It's a business gathering at this point.
Yes.
This business gathering could turn into a convention eventually. But right now, we're looking for, like I said, a place just to come together as business folks, network with each other, and get to know each other's businesses, and get to know each other as business peoples. And I look forward to that. So again, Brother Aziz, I would, and anyone else, we might see if we can locate that area and any other areas where we can go and have a function as to where we can get to know that particular community, and then also get to know each other at the same time. So, yeah, I would appreciate as much information as we can get on that community. I'm sorry. Go right ahead, Brother Aziz.
Right. Yes, I will. And I was going to say, also, somewhere down south, you know, again, you know, we made mention of Biloxi, Mississippi there, you know. Somewhere down south is a good place, too, because this is where industry and big business is moving southward. They've depleted those.
Oh, yes. Like I said, we are Biloxi.
Yeah, they
Yeah, again, we just need a we just need a feedback from our communities and the community leaders, and let them know that you know, hopefully we can get some information and get some invites to come to their locations. And like I said, we're coming there to simulate business. That's what we are. That's what we're all about, to simulate and identify African American businesses in all African American communities. So yes, we and I like to get one of those business identifications meetings going before the cold weather comes in. So hopefully we can do this thing around October or so like that. But brothers, like I said, we're still meeting on that, but we still want information as to where we can say this is the place we like to go and network with a business owners, African-American business owners, and get to know each other. So, again, our mics are open. Our discussion this evening is the advantage of owning a business in the Black communities. We welcome your comments.
Brother Talib Mookman still on?
Talib Mookman?
Well, yeah, I'm still here, brother.
Yes, I'm some legging, brother.
Well,
I have a couple questions to ask you. Do you teach classes on the ins and outs of importing and exporting?
Yes, I do. We to answer that, as I said,
yeah. Yes, because I think that's what a lot of our listeners should know, that things about that also important and export in terms of the setup that y'all have. I know you're saying we're moving a little slow now because of the virus and that dealing with China, but most of the things that we have coming to America come from China. And made there, and a lot of our people that want to go in business, such as the stuff in the dollar store, all that stuff in them dollar stores and all that stuff, Dollar General and this and that, a great majority of the merchandise comes from China. And all I'm saying is, asking is, in teaching the, letting people know something about importing and exporting of merchandise and that, you know, you say you do hold classes on that, or you don't, in a sense.
Well, I bring it to the participants' attention that our sponsor of our workshop, Commonwealth Partners, who serve at the intermediate, you know, so that we have access, and I say we. I am affiliated as the authorized to speak on behalf of our CEO. We have access to everything that we need except electronics such as computers.
It's a little unclear, bro. Can't hear you too well.
Are you still there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, I can hear you clear.
Okay. Well, what I was saying is that we have access to all of those things that one might need to get out of China, except car tires, laptops, cell phones. Any and everything else is available. And we have someone there in that area where most of the merchandise or products are manufactured. And he's African-American, and he speaks Mandarin Chinese and everything. So that is in place. The person does not have to be worried with customs because that has already been taken care of. We just need someone to get in the vehicle and drive it, if I should use that example.
Right. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually can do the custom brokering also.
That's done. Whatever, where, whatever port, et cetera, port, airport, dock, wherever you need it brought in at, that is already taken care of. You don't have to be concerned with any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is,
And one other thing, if you want something manufactured, private label, manufactured, that can be done also.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to having clothing manufactured, let's say Nike and Reebok stuff are made over there. Suppose you wanted to get something that looked like Nike, but it didn't have the same label on it. Is that something that's possible?
You get the same shoe from the same manufacturer. To get the same thing done.
Wow.
Matter of fact, we a couple years ago, I put together some designs for some dress shoes, leather top dress shoes. Of course, the soles are man-made because, dealing with the market price, non-Bush. And I just brought non-Bush up because that's what my father wore and that's what I wear today. And I know there's other ones out there. But even Stacey Adams, Stacey Adams are going to, for market reasons, because there's a certain market, they are making man-made soles now. They have those available, all of them. They just don't have the leather soles anymore. So we have those available, and latest dress shoes and everything. So again, lawn equipment, appliances, furnishing and everything, all that is available.
Wow.
Yeah, but as I mentioned last week, currently the only thing that's available for wholesale in or retail purchase are the 6 brands of men suits. Men's Italian made suits, all of them are Italian made. Those are the only thing that's currently available, and also dress shirts and some jeans.
Okay. What size jeans do you carry?
What size jeans?
Yes.
I will have to pull that up, but I'm pretty well sure. Let me do this right here. Let me pull that up right quick.
You know, a lot of African Americans are kind of kind of big.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that question up. It's because, and this answering the size, I'm gonna get to if it's not listed, but I can get those particulars. Mm-hmm. If you need those, it wouldn't be no problem. Hold on, mm-hmm. I think I'm overlooking it here. I am. Mm-hmm. Okay, from 30. From this chart here, from 30 to 46, from size 30 mm-hmm. up to 46, and these are 100% okay. cotton jeans. But what I was going to say concerning the suits is that these mm-hmm. being Italian-cut suits, which are cut different than American and British suits, we always recommend to go up a size larger. Just an example, if you wear a 42, check your if your chest is 42, we recommend a 44. But that, again, that was our recommendation. But if you choose to just stay with that chest size, of course, you have enough fabric in the jacket, in the pants, to get it altered to fit your body.
Mm-hmm. Also, Brother Mook, when I know the holler, you sent me some wonderful pictures. I haven't gotten them on the Internet because I've been a sort of vacation in a little bit on that next day or two. But I noticed them when it comes to the double breast suit, because I'm a double breast person.
I think I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah, oh, yes. So I was wondering about the double breast suits because I do like what I was looking at, but I was saying, you know, I just don't see the double breasts.
Yeah. Well, the double breast suit is available. It would be $349.99 if I'm allowed to get that price out like this.
Oh yeah, and it's up to you. It's up to you. You like I said,
sir. And another good thing what I'm doing, you don't have to pay shipping. I got you covered.
Excellent. Well, again. Like I said, I'm looking forward to putting out whatever you send us. But that double breast, that might be something that I might. I can tell you right now at that price, I would go ahead and order one or two of them right now.
That is a Super 140 wool suit. 140 wool, and it's lightweight wool too. You can wear it year round.
Excellent. That's what I need to hear. So, let me, if you could, send me. I'd like to see a couple double breasts. I have a need for at least a couple more suits. I'm retired. I don't wear as many suits as I used to, but still, I like to have me a fresh suit every now and then.
Man, I love wearing suits. You know, I'm reminded of my high school days. I graduated in 82, and my junior and senior year particularly, I wore a suit every day, even though that was not a requirement. Me and another friend of mine, we wore suits every day and everything. So,
wow.
I grew up wearing suits. My father, even though he was a barber, but he had a sports jacket on most all the time and a pair of slacks. So it's
wow.
That's just not how it was. And so the thing is, if a person is interested in opening up, however you want to do it, if you want to do a as Brother Bilal was saying, if you want to actually open up and I'm just using the brick and mortar, that's your choice to do that. Or if you want to just do online, or however you want to do it, you can do that with the suits. But all you would need, again, we can talk about what you would need to give us as a fee to be able to purchase those suits on a regular basis. And it's a minimum of 10 suits. It do not have to be the same size. It do not have to be the same brand, because remember we have six brands. You can mix those up to get that minimum of 10 suits. And I'm not looking at that right now. Sometimes I lose on certain things. The shirts, if I'm not mistaken, it's five shirts, order quantity, wholesale order. And I want to say it's five pair of jeans, but if I'm making a mistake, all I have to do is pull it up on my computer and to get the correctness on the minimum order quantity. And plus, you will have those things that I will email to you. You would have that information, even a wholesale cost sheet. You will have that on your for you to have and yeah. Everything. Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, a wholesale price for 10 be a flat price no matter what, which one you got, or would it be varied like?
Well, it varies because, like I said, we have the lowest price point that we have retail. I'm giving you retail for now for this conversation here. It's $149.99.
Okay, gotcha.
Right. That's a poly rayon suit. And then, again, we go up to $199.99. That's a poly rayon, but a little bit better fabric. And then we go up to $274.99. That's a microfiber fabric. And then we go up to a $224.99. That is a wool silk blend. And then $249.99. That's super 140. And then we have a $349.99. That's a super 150 wool. Those are the six price points. Now, if you want, now the double breast is only available in two brands. That is the Mantoni Super 140 wool and the Giorgio Forelli. Now, Giorgio Forelli is a poly rayon, which you're looking at it and feeling it, you'll think it's wool. Okay. The double breast is only available in those two brands, and the double breast in that one would be right around $249.99, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So that's retail if you want to consider the Giorgio Forelli. But if you go with a wool, 100% wool, it's going to be the $349.99.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's what Brother Luke would suggest. Yeah, like I said, I will, the ones that you, everything you sent me so far, I'm going to have on the internet. But right now I am saying send me the ones that, these double breasts we're talking about, put them out there for, send me the display. But I think I'm going to be ordering two or three of them from you.
It's in those images that I email you. That is the spring-summer collection. And it's amongst one of those images. I want to say it's going to be page 11.
Okay.
From the Mantoni. But then again, like I said, you're looking at, I know that's page 4, and then page 11, I think, and everything. So, and then I find I can. If you want me to individualize it, I would extract that and just send that to you separate, Bilal, if you want me to do that. I extract them that way if I don't forget to do it. Now, but one more thing, I want to go quickly to the Entrepreneurs and Development Network again. Now, one of the things we do at the Entrepreneurs and Development Network, at the workshop, we deal with why start your business, how to become an entrepreneur, how to come up with a business name. Now, these things are all presented from, I would say, professional marketing people, okay? and I'm using their format to when I make these presentations. And because choosing a business name is very, very important. I'm on my third business name with Marketing the Suits, if I'm not mistaken, my third business name. And one of the reasons I chose Rejal in Fifth Game Suits is because this presentation that's titled How to Come Up with a Business Name. And I'll just pull it up just real quick here. We won't go too much elaboration on it. Show. I'm carrying slide. And let me go. And it talks about use acronym. But one of them, it talks about it's a good business name can make your customers remember you easily. And it even talking about use a foreign language in to find your business name. So that's why, yeah, that's what it is. Number four, use foreign words. And the example is, even if your audience is based in one region, a foreign name or foreign sounding name can be very memorable in your customer's native language. Mm-hmm. Just look at Audi, the Latin translation of the German name Porsche, okay? So that's just Daewoo, the car manufacturer. It's from the Korean language, which means, great house. And they recommend use your own name. Look at a map. And it's just different things on here. Use a nickname. Name it like Mercedes, the manufacturer. That is the daughter of the founder of the company. Et cetera, et cetera. So it's just different ways that we show, and let me take that back down and go, and we deal with how to choose a business entity, because having these things based on what your state, and I just have some listed like a cooperative, Bilal briefly spoke on that, a profit corporation, a nonprofit corporation, which we do have the Entrepreneurs and Development Institute. That's the nonprofit. And then you have a general partnership, which you might see GP, a limited partnership, LP, a limited liability company, LLC, a family limited partnership, FLP, a limited liability partnership, LLP, and then a limited liability limited partnership, which is LLLP. And it's a few more out there, but what you would need to do, you would need to call, you would need to get in touch with your state, and then you're dealing with something briefly here. If I'm taking up too much time, someone please let me know.
No, continue.
No, bro.
Then you want to deal with your NAICS codes. And your NAICS codes are North American Industry Classification System. So states like Alaska, Arkansas, Connecticut, Mississippi, where I'm at, Georgia, Louisiana, New Hampshire, New Mexico require this code. And it's a code that it's a numerical code. And it designate what type of business that you are registering with that state and the federal government, because you have to actually click on that on there. I know in Mississippi you don't do a hard copy anymore. You can only register your business online with the Secretary of State's office and everything. So, and that being said, I think this is what I'm looking for, this thing, how to start a business in the 50 states. Now, not all of the states in the country, the first one I have on the list is Alabama. I have them here in alphabetical order. Alabama, Secretary of State. Alaska, Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. So it's probably nine states in the country that do not use the Secretary of State office to register your business. Okay, they different designations, and I have the complete list here for anyone that might be interested in everything to know where do I go to register my business at in the state. Now, I can't answer you if they only do it online. However, like I said, I can answer it for Mississippi because you register it online. And also, just like the IRS, I'm speaking being in Mississippi now, we have to do a regular yearly report that's due this on the 15th of April every year. Rather you are functioning, but if you registered that business in the state of Mississippi, come April 15th next year, I've already done it for this year. They're going to send you out a letter from with your email address, letting you know yearly, et cetera, need to be done. As long as you don't, again, you don't have to be doing anything, but they want to know if that business is still there. And if you don't comply in an adequate time, they would cancel the business out themselves. So we go through all that. And then how to create a Facebook business, how to market using Facebook. And why I'm focusing in on Facebook is because they have the largest audience than any platform out there. And I'm talking about millions and billions of monthly users on that page, okay? So how to create that page, how to market, how to use them for business, and then how to write a business plan, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We use a draft of a business plan that the SBA, Small Business Association, put out and said, this is what you want to go by when you're writing your business plan. And I actually made a PowerPoint presentation from that plan, which I changed some of the language that's on there, some of the items that's on there due to my religious or my faith tradition orientation. So, I took those things off. Deal with business credit myths. And of course, most of this is done as a presentation because we give a disclaimer at the beginning that this is for informational, educational purpose only. Get in contact with persons such as Bilal Bynum. I don't mention his name on my presentation like that, but that's his specialty. Mm-hmm. But I mentioned an attorney, et cetera, a tax attorney, et cetera, because our thing is educational purpose only. And even I'm just going down through the list, how to build business credit. Don's number. Now, the Don's number is the Data Universal Numbering System. And if you try to particularly do government contracts, okay, which we address that, you're going to need this Don's number. You're going to need this Don's number if you decided to, I think, go to another country. And again, Bilal can answer much more than I am because I just present and everything. But these things are very, very important to have, and that's been around since 1962. So how to acquire a Don's number. So we got it detailed on how to do that. And then how to bid on government contracts, how to win government contracts, and also reasons for having a business attorney, and why have a business card, and how to design your business card. So we cover a whole lot in those workshops about establishing a business, and a lot of things are fading out now, but business cards is one thing that probably will never fade out because it is something that you give and go. We also go over what they call an elevator pitch. That is a limited time that it takes to get from floor one to the second floor, what it's saying, that time frame, to pitch your what type of business that you're in. And that's it and everything. So we kind of, it is a working workshop. That is basically what we deal with. So we have some things on here. We have some entrepreneurs that's under the age of 18, being entrepreneurs over the age of 30, Forbes 30 under 18, Forbes largest private companies
Forbes 2018 list of African-American billionaires that has changed over the last 3 years. The world's wealthiest sports team owner. Now, I didn't put any, I did not create a presentation for any athletes. Because why? Because if that sports team owner can pay for however many people he or she has on their roster, the money, the millions of dollars that they're paying them, who have the most money? Think about it. And so that's why I put that together that way. And so if you look just real briefly, if you look, I start on this entrepreneurs under 18. And yes, I start with a young lady by the name of Sarah Rector. She was African-American, Native American descended. All this took place around 1912. But the money that she is valued out to $6.5 million today. And then I have a young lady the age of 9 years old in bath products. I have a group of young brothers who came up with a company called Yummy Brothers. And the youngest one at the time I put this together was just 5 years of age, and they making some serious money. This lady, young girl who played, I think the show is canceled now, Blackish. She's an executive producer at just the age of 14. So this is what I try to show young people. Gabrielle, a young lady named Gabrielle, founder of the Mommy and Me Entrepreneur Academy. And these are young people, not even over 18. Camila McCaver, and if I'm not mistaken, I read where David, Brother Dalal and Shahid in North Carolina appointed her to his executive board of his things he do every year. Okay, David, her son. And it's just because they need to see this in everything. Mr. Corey's cooking. And one last person, I'm going to stop here with Mose Bowles. Well, President Obama, Magic Johnson, a lot of other sports figures and people wear his bow tie. This young man was 9 years old when he started this business. And let's just go on and on and on. So this is one of the things that we try to do. And I'm reminded of something Camille Nair said. He did one, if you don't know, he did the song Trying to Catch Me Riding Dirty from out of Houston, Texas. And his real name he has a name from the Arabic language, his whole name, first and last name. Without what he said, but anyway, he said something to the effect that when he was in the recording industry, he didn't see wealth. He only seen wealth when he got into Silicon Valley. That's when he seen where. All right, so these things are very, very important, and that's what I said. Bilal started off by saying, we're trying to encourage people to go in business for themselves because that is what we need. And also when we go in business for ourselves and those that don't go into business, support the one that do go in business. This is a very, very key factor. Support your African American brother or sister in the business that they're in, even if that merchandise or service costs more than somebody else. Support that. I'm reminded of a cousin of mine years ago. I asked him why was this gas higher than the other companies in our hometown when I went to visit. And he shared with me, he said, I cannot buy my gas as cheap as the other people up here can. So I made a point. I supported him every time I went home, got gas, didn't go anywhere else. This is what we need to grow into, supporting our own in business. Stop taking almost $1.4 trillion out of our community and everything and keep it and let it circulate. Let that dollar circulate more than 6 hours
in our community. Support that business. And if that the business is not measuring up to where it should be, tell them, bring it to their attention that you cannot keep selling me this merchandise or this doing this service like this.
This
is
their
real
report.
You know?
Excuse me,
so
but Bilal, I have to leave you because I have to go to the next meeting with Sister Queen Ella. Bye.
If you look at, when somebody is trying to talk of you, will, Bilal, if you don't mind, Saeed, if you all could stay muted until your opportunity to speak. Pardon me for saying that out of order, but I apologize. These things are very, 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 very important. I had an African-American Muslim brother reach out to me with some criticism of the models of these suits. And he said, are there not any men with some melanin in their skin so I can see how it look on brothers? Well, I'm doing a workshop when he did this. Why? On Facebook. I kindly responded and said, well, if you purchase as many of these suits as you want, go get them fitted, take some professional images from a professional photographer. I use you as a model, pay you a commission. He didn't respond. See, that's foolishness. This is stuff we should not have to deal with, because you're spending money that got Caucasian men on it with people outside of the community. So these are things that's a handicap for us. You don't know the heart of these men that mauling these suits. I'm not dealing with that. So he stayed where he was at and everything. And without any reply, I tried to appeal to his thinking and show him that that's not acceptable. You know, he just wanted to find fault. We can never go ahead advance ourselves with foolishness like that. You know, but anyway, I'm going to stop here. Let someone else that might want to ask a question, or turn it back over to our host and everything. But again, if anyone wants to reach out to me, you can reach out to me at 228-209-2877. Again, 228-209-2877. I'd be willing to share with you any of this information that I have here, but it will not be the PowerPoint presentation. I will convert it to PDF and send an email that to you. Now, if you want the PowerPoint presentation, you can get it, but I have to say, Bilal, if I'm allowed, I'm going to charge you for it, because it takes some time. Not saying charge you, Bilal, I'm just saying your permission here is what I'm saying, because it takes time creating these PowerPoint presentations. Okay? It takes time and work and energy and staying up late at night. Et cetera, et cetera. And all if right. you are willing to pay to make a small donation for my time and services of going over these things with you, that's appreciated too. And everything. Okay? So thank you. And again, you business people, get your business suit. Your colors are gray, particularly dark gray and blue. I mentioned those two colors first. Those are suits that's recommended for business.
Mm-hmm. Brother Mookman, we certainly appreciate the information. And like I said...
Sir?
Yes. Oh, I thought I heard... Okay. No, we definitely appreciate your information. Oh. And we certainly ask you to continue to come on, because you can help yourself in business, but most of all, you can help so many others in business. Sitting here in your presentation, I'm thinking of so many ways that one could be making money. And one of the things I'm thinking about, and like I said, even though I'm a retired person, business is something that retired folks don't really look forward to going into. But when you see opportunities, and especially when you're running a business association, and you realize these opportunities, there's no doubt you want to do something with them. And in this case, even the New Africa Business Association, I can see where at the wholesale price, we could actually buy the suits at the wholesale price because your retail price, and again, your retail price is reasonable.
Yeah.
So, and I say that because I know you're located in Mississippi, where the cost of living and the cost of buying suits might be a little cheaper than it would be in New York or Washington, D.C., because, I mean, you know, it's common to pay $400, $500, $600, $700 for a very nice suit.
Here yeah.
Right.
So when you can find it, especially when someone knows that when I say the how the suits are made, what niching went into the suit. So in other words, was it made from very good material? Was it made from a less cheaper material? But you have access to all that information. As to where normally
yeah.
you go in and buy a suit, nobody's telling you this type of information. They're just simply selling you a suit for whatever price is on the suit, and you buy. But like I said, from the information that I am hearing, it pays even for, I'm sitting here saying mine, even the New Africa Business Association, we could even buy 10 suits, but because everything is done, like I said, right from your computers now. You don't need to be in a building, a storefront building anymore. And I know here in the New Africa Business Association, where we do have exposure to quite a few folks, I'm thinking, my goodness, what would happen once we get these suits out there? So rather than Brother Mookman have to worry about being the retail person, let's just keep him as the wholesaler and buy these suits. And of course, because like I said, it's very reasonable. So I mean, so reasonable, like I said, I could see me just saying, and I'll speak to Brother Isaiah and a few more folks, but I'm saying it might be worth it that we not only display the suits, but sell them ourselves and just buy them wholesale.
Let me interject something just real quick. I'm going to be brief. I had a customer out of New York. I worked for the prosecutor's office in the state of New York. Yeah. And he seen my promotion on Facebook. He reached out to me, purchased a suit.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the price that we had them available for. And now he's in New York now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And
yeah,
he had that brand already. He liked it, and he said, "Man, I can't beat this price."
No.
I never seen the man. I never seen it. You know, he called me, and everything, et cetera, et cetera, and you know, and the deal went forth.
Brother Mookman, like I said, you have a network, and you have a market where you can help the communities all over this country. Folks just don't know about you. And
one other thing, and I'm going to mention, I forgot to mention something. There are boys. That term Fit Yang means boys, young boys. We have boys suits, too, young boys.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
All right.
It's just a matter.
All right.
It's just a matter. I'm the New Africa Business Association is looking at this thing in a much different our perspective, because again, there's no reason why we and anybody else shouldn't be keeping you as a wholesaler, because your retail prices actually one could even double the retail prices. We know.
Hey, Bilal, for what you just said. Now, Brother Shahid, don't get mad at me for what he just said. Yeah. No need to kick me as a wholesaler. For him saying that, I'm going to move him up to the top of my favorite brother list. They can get on themselves. They can get on themselves. I'm going to have a whole lot of people mad with me, but I'm going to let them know this is my favorite brother now.
But I appreciate it, brother.
Yes,
but really not trying to get any points. See, Brother Aziz know that I'm like you. For 40 years as a financial planner, I didn't wear nothing but suits. Matter of fact, my problem, as a retired person, I don't have any everyday clothes. Man, I can't go and wash my car without having a pair of pants that I might have paid $200
for. Brother Mookman,
don't forget about we got tuxedos, too.
1 year ago, I've been knowing Bilal 40 years or better. I know at least 40-some years. And last year, I think it was last year, or it might have been the year before last, it was the first time I ever seen him with a pair of jeans, and they were brand new on top of that. So I said, dog, boy,
well, you know, look weird to me.
I said, you look weird
to me. My older sister and them did the same thing to me a few years back. I started wearing jeans. He got on a pair of jeans because I kept on slacking at least a sports coat.
My point is this, is that, see, being that a person who has to wear a business attire, and of course, as a financial planner, I first started out years ago, and my mentors back in those days got me into the business was Jewish, Dr. Barrickman, my college professor. He's the one who told me when I graduated to try financial planning because this is something African Americans didn't do. But one of the things Dr. Barrickman, I got my license and got trained, one of the things Dr. Barrickman told me when he checked me out, he said, look, Minor, and here's a few dollars. You pay me back after you get started. Here's a few dollars. Go shopping. Because when you go into, as a financial planner, you cannot go into a person's business or residence looking too poor, looking broke.
That's right.
Because they're going to tell you to take your own advice and then come back.
That's right.
Ever since then, when it comes to transportation and comes to a business attire, I try to make certain I look like a rich man
at all times.
Because you're going to be judged. You're going to be judged. Like a brother Mookman was saying, when you, as a business person, when you pull out your business card and try to make a presentation, you got maybe a minute to 2 minutes to get this person's interest. And that first minute is you got their interest. But after a minute or two, you either going to keep their interest or they're ready to get away from you.
Let me interject one other thing. You brought up the business card. Now, here's another thing that the professional marketing people say this. Don't be stingy with your business cards. Get three. Now, trust me, I know that's hard sometimes because I done dealt with like, man, wait a minute. the card calls me. It happens. But, hey, get past that and give them three. That's what the professional marketing people recommend, and everything that I have done that they recommend to do prove the point.
Mm-hmm.
Prove the point.
Yes.
Give them three cards. Give them three cards.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, here's another thing if I might add. Nowadays, just like I'm talking to you all now and everything, I got the front and back of my business card on my phone. I download from the source that I have them printed up, okay? Mm-hmm. And I take that to people. I text it to people.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're dealing with technology.
Yep. That's
right. With technology. They got it on their phone.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
That's why
I'm saying you do not have to have. Matter of fact, the big money makers are the ones who I don't think they even have a storefront.
Well, now apparently what I do, and I'm looking at probably staying the way I am, but I am looking at getting a small square foot place just as a fit shop. I'm going to have a few jackets in there, and you come in there and get measured. Few jackets, maybe some slacks, but mainly jacket, whatever, you know, from 38 up to probably 46 or 48 and everything. And come in there and get measured. I'll order your suit for you. That's what I'm doing now, you know, and everything because,
Would you be having swatches of material to select from?
Currently, the manufacturer of the suits, they don't have swatches available. We have been talking about that would help boost sales and everything. So that's, again, currently they're not available. And hopefully the manufacturer will make those available one day and everything.
Now
I'm going to share this with a lot of people. I know some of us, based on that time period we come up in, now this being an Italian manufacturer, they may or may not, chances are, they won't have any pleats, okay? They mostly just flat.
Mm.
But they do have, if you look on those images that I sent, they got one pleat. But, you know, we will have to confirm if they got any available, okay, and everything. But mainly it's going to be flat.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be flat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brother McGlynn, do you know a brother Barry Muhammad? I think he's in North Carolina now. He used to sell suits.
That name sounds familiar. He might be on Facebook where I recognize that name.
Right. You might recognize. He used to be in D.C. And they used to have some suits. And I'm familiar with the Mantoni brand. You know, he had some of those. I have a couple of Mantonis also.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the other names I got. I've been buying from him all along when he was here in D.C.
Well, here what it is one manufacturer on all of those brands. Yeah, on all of those brands.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The name is the style of the suit.
Okay, I'm going to start from the top. Enzo Tavari, that is the Super 150 wool, Mantoni, Super 140, Bertinelli, that's the wool silk blend, and Manchester and Taylor, that is a microfiber fabric, Giorgio Ferrelli, that's a poly rayon fabric, and Carlo Lusso, that's a poly rayon fabric, and Carlo Lusso being the lowest price point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is wool gabardine obtainable?
Say that again.
Wool gabardine. Do you have any of that?
No, currently those name ones that we have available. And now it's Italian wool now. The three that has wool in them, there it's Italian wool.
Yes. All right. Okay. And you say they're year round suits.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Because it's lightweight wool.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm impressed with Mm-hmm. And then another thing, in the winter, when the fall winter come in, when the fall winter come in, jackets and overcoats going to be available again.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, trench coats and overcoats and everything, made out of cashmere, and your other types of fabric mm-hmm. and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, we got to give this a lot of exposure because they just don't know about you, Brother Mookman. And this is another reason why I was saying we need to have these business workshops and business conventions in different areas so we can get this type of information out.
I'm going to go on mute probably for maybe 5 minutes because there's a train approaching, and believe me, it's going to drown you all out. That's the money train that I call it. It's because we got a dock in Mobile, Alabama. We got one in Gulfport, Mississippi here, and then New Orleans. It's a cargo train. So I'm going to go on mute, okay?
Okay.
Y'all keep the conversation going. What
we're going to do is we're going to look forward to your coming back on next week. I think we're going to
Signing off. I'm just going to mute, so it won't be disturbing the call.
No. Well, again, I can see where a lot of our callers have dropped off. Look like they've gone on mute. I can see there's just a very few of us. We had quite a few, but it's just a very few of us now. But next week we will pick this right back up.
Okay, then. I'll go ahead and sign off here.
Go right ahead, Brother Aziz.
Go ahead.
Brother Tariq's information and that he's been sharing, brother, is like A+. I mean, invaluable.
Yeah.
And the opportunity that he presents for the community, man, it's like,
it's
unbelievable that we would have that kind of contact among us for doing business. So I hope you keep sharing that information because it was very rewarding to me as a listener.
Yeah, and see, and this is what we need rather than a lot of the small talk stuff. We need we need to be proactive and about getting in the business. And in this case, we know clothing. We got to have clothes, so there's no doubt about that. That's one of the
necessities.
So we look forward to having an expert in clothes. And like I said, we look forward to having the farmers, because food. And we had Brother Paul. He's an expert in housing, building houses. These are the folks we're trying to put together because that are the important things. But some of the small talk, I won't say it's a waste of time, but what we're trying to do, it's going to involve folks like Brother Mookman, because like I said, not only are we trying to also buy from many parts of the world, but we also try to do business in many of these countries. And so again, like I said, we have the sister from Liberia. I'm looking forward to her coming on the show and telling us more about what is going on in Liberia and what she's trying to do over there. And I know one of the things is a resort. They have hotels and resorts and stuff like that over. So I'm looking to find out more about that because when we do start talking about conventions and all, that was the wonderful place to have these places. And so, yes, we look forward to it. And like I said, getting in touch with all of our organizations and putting them all together. But Brother Mookman, yes, do come back. We look forward to your participation because not only can we help your business to grow, but you can help many, many businesses to grow. And like I said, I can even see New Africa doing something here with especially the clothing. So thanks so much.
Thank you, brother.
We can stay on as long as we still got a half an hour if we want it.
Well, I plan on being available next Wednesday if the good Lord say the same.
We'll look forward to it, and we'll just keep on bringing different folks that can appreciate what you're doing, and you can appreciate what they're doing. But no, I ask you to continue to come on as often as you can, because you have a product, and you can put a lot of folks in business. That's what that's what they call it. But you can put folks in business. So we're looking forward to
people that want to stop buying product from this guy and that guy and want to get it for their own. Here's an opportunity to do that. You can get it shipped to you now from Korea or China.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a great opportunity for folks. So we'll have to focus on that and let that be part of our next program. Inshallah, you know, Brother McMinn is coming on, telling, you know, we'll announce the ins and outs of how to improve your business, import and export, and you know, from experts. You know, and this is opening up a whole new world for our people to be getting things in from themselves, shipped in from themselves, instead of running down there to Chinatown and buying stuff.
Well, again,
great opportunity.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Brother Aziz, and we have to expose much more of this information, because the thing about the Khmer folks just don't know. They just do not know.
Yes.
And like that community you was talking about there in Alabama, the African American community you was talking about.
They
need clothing stores down there, and they would love to have as to where they can hear have a wholesale prices. Like I said, some of these retail prices, hell, they need to see our wholesale prices. So, like I said, it's just a matter of being informative and showing folks the opportunities that they can have, along with not only can you buy your products, but experts that can get you incorporated in your business and get you all set up, all incorporated, and get your accounts and your financials in order. And you in business.
Yes.
You in business.
Right, yes.
So, again, it could all be done right here at the New Africa Business Association. And from product to incorporations to any other type of business support that you might need, right here at the New Africa Business Association. So, yes, I look forward to it, brothers.
All right.
Anybody got any comments that they like to make at this time? Go ahead, we and him. But like I said, if not, we'll have probably an early closeout. But any comments anybody have liked to make? The mics are open. Okay, Brother Aziz. Like I said, a lot of our listeners, and you know, a lot of at 8 o'clock they switch over to the Black Wall Street USA. So we will have them all. So I look forward to, and I know they look forward to our switching over with them, but I don't think I'll be switching tonight. To be doing any other networking other than what we're doing right now. So, Brother Mookwood, again, I'm coming because we need to keep on presenting you and let others know about you so they can either buy from you or they can go ahead on into business and put together their $3,000 or whatever they need to get 10 or 15 suits. Because it'll be well worth it.
Yes,
worth
sir.
It. compared to, and then remember, like the brother said, you heard the retail costs. You didn't hear the wholesale prices. And that's what excites me, is that I haven't heard the wholesale prices. So even though I am going to buy a suit here, Brother Milton is going to send me some copies. I'm going to buy one or two suits. And I know after I buy one or two of these suits and put them on, then I'm going to say, darn it, I need to buy 10 of these and sell them.
Yes, sir.
I'm looking forward to
that. What that rock and roll group did, I forget the name of that song, he said, every woman like a well-dressed man.
Oh, ain't no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Hey,
now, I'm not trying to encourage nobody to go out there and get in trouble now. That's not what I mean here. So, I can't help you if you come back.
That's right. It's possible. I tell you what, I've gotten clients because I was well-dressed.
Yeah.
I've gotten clients because I was well-dressed, and it was brought to my attention. You know, I like the things, I like gifts that you got, and I picked up clients.
Yeah.
I picked up clients because you never know where it's going to come from. But always, it starts with your attire.
In knowing your product or service.
Oh, you must.
You got to know your product. You got to know your service.
Yeah.
You can't sell those things if you don't know those things.
Oh no,
and everything.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you ain't gonna use good salesmanship if you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So,
door to door sales. You got to know your product.
You got to know your product. So no, you
right.
No, I don't.
You know,
I can imagine what
thing,
you said.
You know, and one thing about knowing your product is that's what helps you make the sale, because disparaging another similar product is not going to make the sale. You got to make the sale about knowing your product and how good that is, you know. What makes this a good product, the best product of all the other stuff that's out there.
Yeah.
You know? You don't have to say anything against your competitor. You don't say nothing against
them. That's right.
No. Use salesmanship on your product.
Yeah, show them your value added, you know.
Yeah.
Your value. You move right ahead.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, Bilal, as you suggested, brother, I'm ready.
Oh, well, I'm going to sign off right here then until next week, okay? As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Wa alaykum as-salam, my brother. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and we look forward to continuing this conversation at another time. So, yes, we're signing off. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about
a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation, we'll make a better society.
And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers?